You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Well, the Yankees sweep three straight games from the Twins. The celebration is on, and the Yankees move on ahead to the American League Championship Series against either Tampa or Houston. A phenomenal Yankees win. Their pitching held this vaunted Twins attack to one run. The Yankees made numerous, tremendous fielding plays, and the Gleyber Torres, the Didi Gregorius.
There you have it, the New York Yankees. That's right. Big sports night last night here. Yeah, both the well, the Yankees move on. That's big enough. All right. A very good Tuesday morning to you on a day. It's going to be an awesome day here on All Marine Radio. Started doing the On Discipline series months ago, and so one of the guys I wanted to have on is General Zinni, who I call the Burning Bush, right? So General Zinni, you're going to hear him today in something that I recorded a while ago. But before I published it, I wanted to have General Van Riper come back and appear at the end of it. And so I had to figure out how to do that. And so finally got that done yesterday. And so you'll hear 2.5 hours of General Zinni, and you're going to hear General Van Riper. So it's great stuff, and extremely excited to do it. So it should be a great day here on All Marine Radio, and looking forward to it. So anyway, good morning to you on this Tuesday morning. The On Discipline interviews have been really, really fun to do, and And these guys are, I mean, when I was a lieutenant, they were general officers or colonels, and they're all Vietnam veterans. And, you know, they learned about this stuff in a pretty difficult set of circumstances. And so, and then subsequent to that, they're all smart guys, and they're learned guys, and they went on to have distinguished careers both inside and outside of the Marine Corps. And they've always been role models for me and for my friends. We read what they write. We watch what they do. We're fans, if you will. And the other thing they did for my friends, and I'll tell you, the two guys that you'll hear today, General Zinni and General Van Riper, what they did in the 90s was, with General Gray's Maneuver Warfare Initiative, what General Zinni, who did a thing that I call combat concepts. I'd never seen anything like it in my life like that. I was an instructor at IOC at the time, and Major John Kelly saw me, and he said, "Hey, are you going to go see General Zinni Singh tonight, or Colonel Zinni Singh tonight?" I'm like, you know, I heard he was speaking, so I don't know anything about him. And he looked at me and he said, "Matt, make sure you're there." I said, "Yes, sir." So, actually, I wasn't even at IOC yet. I had been tagged to go there, but I wasn't there. And I just happened to saw Major Kelly walking across the campus at Camp Barrett out at the basic school. And he said, "Go." And I'll tell you what, the PME changed my life. If I had not gone that night, I wouldn't probably, you know, be sitting here today, I don't think. And so as the Marine Corps embarked on this intellectual, I would say, enlightenment in the early 90s, led by General Gray, but fought by guys like General Van Riper and General Zinni, you heard their experience and their savvy and their smarts all rolled into this thing. And the Marine Corps became this incredible experience you've heard my friends come on, but it became this incredible experience, this intellectual experience for us, where, you know, it was, you know, steeped in learning, steeped in the intellect, steeped in the difficulties of this endeavor of conflict, of war, and how do you do well at it? What do you have to be educationally to do well at it? And so, you're gonna get to hear those guys today. And I'll tell you what, I can't say thank you enough to them for being as gracious as they are with their time as they are, with it. I'm like a geek when I do this stuff, with them. In fact, I'll send text messages in the middle of it and tell my friends, like, I have the best job in the world. In fact, speaking of the best job in the world, General Van Riper, when I was talking to him yesterday, before we started, goes, or after, I can't remember which, he said, "Hey, Mac, I got to tell you something. I didn't realize how popular your broadcast is." And I didn't know what to say, right? Normally I would say something, you know, some kind of cocky-ass thing. But I'm not there yet with General Van Riper. And so I kind of stayed quiet. I said, "Oh, really, sir?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, I was up in Quantico for the 30th anniversary of the founding of the Marine Corps University." Yeah, which was founded in, what, 1989? And he said, "And General Mattis made remarks there." And the whole time I was there, and at another event, I had people coming up to me talking about the interview I did. He said, "You've done something really good here." And so we started talking about All Marine Radio, and then started talking about post-traumatic winning. And General Van Riper said to me, after listening to it, he said, "You're doing the Lord's work, Mac." He's a Catholic, right? And I said, "Oh." And I said, "You know, it all comes out of our culture." And he said, I do. He said, you know, we've all lived it. We've all seen it. So anyway, that seems to be a common thing that I run into. And so then, and as we were after, you know, we recorded what you'll hear at the end of the General Zinni piece. So what it is, General Zinni comes on and we're doing the normal on discipline thing. His career, his thoughts on discipline, you know, where it comes from. And so at the end of it, you know, we talk about of the Zinni interview, you know, General Furness published his, General Van Riper in around 1990, you know, he published Flat Ass Rules or something, no, his 21 Rules, and then, and some other guidance, right, for the 2nd Division. General Mattis had his Flat Ass Rules, and General Furness, you know, published, I can't remember what he called them. So you see generals, and not one of them, right, is an intellectual slouch. So when I ask Zinni about it, you'll hear his response. But he essentially says he doesn't like that because he believes it's top-down leadership. Now, I can tell you from knowing the other three, they're not top-down leaders. They're bottom-up leaders. Okay? So what I wanted to do was, in the spirit of Zinni likes discussion. He likes discourse with smart people who disagree. And so in the spirit of that, I thought, well, before I put this out, I need to get General Van Riper on and send him the audio and say, I know you've heard this criticism of you, most of your professional life. Would you come on and talk about it? And so he said, yeah, I'll come on and talk about it. And so, anyway, you're going to hear that today. So, but again, I just these guys in particular, Zinni and Van Riper, I mean, they're writers, they're intellects, and they're great guys. They're all wrapped in this rough Marine Corps package, and they've been great Marines, they've been great Americans, they've been great citizens of the democracy. So we might do more. Kind of a round table thing with them, which I have some points of contact, and General Van Riper gave me a couple ideas. He wants to do something on how maneuver warfare has changed, and since it was originally published, John Schmidt, a major who wrote it for General Gray, which was called FMFM1, and then it's become MCDP, Marine Corps Doctrinal Publication 1. So we're gonna one is, you know, his maybe and John Schmidt come on and talk about thoughts about maneuver warfare, its development, its evolution, and where they see it today. So that's pretty cool. And then the second one would be General Van Riper, General Zinni, and somebody else. I put out some feelers, but somebody else talking about did what they see in Iraq and Afghanistan, was that maneuver warfare? Now, mind you, people get distracted by the word maneuver. Okay, maneuver warfare is a style of fighting that believes in fighting the chaos of combat with educated decision makers at all levels who are encouraged to take initiative. And in that way, you relentlessly take advantage of the chaos and uncertainty that's resident in combat, right, in military operations, and you're a dynamic, aggressive, and responsive force. All right? So that's what maneuver warfare is. It doesn't have to do with moving, although at times it certainly does. But it's a way of thinking. It's a way of command and control. It's a mindset, if you will. So General Zinni and General Van Riper have differing opinions relative, and I'm not going to tell you who's where, but of whether the Marine Corps actually practiced what it preached. And so we had an interesting discussion. I will tell you, now, if you can imagine, the people at the highest headquarters can literally see what you're doing on the battlefield. they can watch your communications. So if you're a, let's say you're a major general in charge of the, you know, 1st Marine Division, and you're deployed somewhere fighting, you could sit in your office if you wanted to, and you could watch the communications between a company and a patrol as they communicate via text message. You could watch the communications between the company and the battalion to monitor the progress. Hey, they're here now. They're doing this now. And so that's a kind of, I'll use a Marine Corps term, granularity that you have, that you can have. Now, the tendency is not to be able to sit on your hands and say, they've got a commanding officer, he's got a commanding officer, and his commanding officer reports to me. That's the guy who I supervise. Okay, so that guy, there's a whole series of layers between him and me. And so it requires restraint in the midst of this, you know, this enhanced ability to see. Can people do that? We had to submit to the division above us a concept of operation for every slide, for every event that went in the air. If it was a squad that was going to get moved to start a patrol, because it was an aviation event, we had to submit the squad concept of operation to the division. That's not so much trust tactics, right? That's Big Brother up your ass. And so, anyway, I just pretty exciting stuff. And today you're going to hear some of that. You hear, first of all, General Zinnia is his career is great. He's a great public speaker. He's got a ton of personality, and it's very cool. And so you're going to hear that today. And then tomorrow we're going to go to Cantien. Yeah, we're going to go to Cantien tomorrow. And which is exciting. Mike Marletto, former CO of 11th Marines and chief of staff of OneMeth. Mike introduced me to a guy he knows, and who was I think a lieutenant captain at Cantien. Well, not Cantien, but up in the Leatherneck Square area of South Vietnam. So think 67, 68, 69. Think the northern part of South Vietnam. Think, if you're familiar with that, think Leatherneck Square, places like Jiaolin. South of Jiaolin was Dong Ha, which was headquarters of the 3rd Marine Division. If you go to the west, you had Cantien. If you go south of that, you had Khe San. So kind of a rectangle formed in that by those general parameters. So... although Khe San wasn't really the southwest corner of Leatherneck Square, but most of you have a general idea where Khe San is. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll get Lynch and Kenny on to talk on Thursday. And I'll tell you what, and you talk, those guys are geeks for this stuff too. Because we were all there at the same time. And that's the kind of impact these guys had on us. And I will tell you this, I don't know that the Marine Corps has the same kind of intellectual thing going on though. Right? And it was natural for us that we were inquisitive, we argued, we wrote, you know, we discussed stuff, we disagreed, and I would tell you that I'm extremely concerned about the American military. I believe that too much of our culture has seeped into the military. And I believe that the DOD needs to construct a dike that does not allow the culture to encroach more into the military. Because the military cannot live like that. It cannot be like our culture. And as a result, the DOD leadership inside the DOD needs to change. And I'll tell you what, one of the most concerning things you hear is that, you know, well, and I talk about it here, but you've emasculated, you've taken away you know, I think the key role of the staff NCO. Now, there's going to be people that argue that, oh, no, they can still do everything they can need, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you, that whole pack order, right? Prohibited activity. Okay? So what the effect of this, okay, the effect of this order this order updates and aligns Marine Corps policy on prohibited activities and conduct involving harassment to include sexual harassment, unlawful discrimination and abuse, specifically hazing, bullying, ostracism, retaliation, wrongful distribution or broadcasting intimate images, and certain dissident and protest activities to include supremacist activity. These behaviors will be referred to collectively as prohibited activities and conduct throughout this order and are more fully defined in Volume 2. This order also implements the DOD and Department of Navy policies on military equal opportunity and harassment prevention and response program and activities. All right. The effect of this is if you say, hey, shithead, come here. I go tell the first sergeant, he called me a shithead. Okay? Now, you can get called a shithead on any construction site in the country. You can get called, hey, stupid, at basketball practice. What are you doing? Okay? Now, you can argue, well, there's better ways to articulate it. I don't care. The bottom line is when you have a military that has become the equivalent of a high school in this kind of bullshit, you are empowering the idiots in the unit and intimidating the people that are supposed to be in charge of the idiots. You're giving the idiots terra firma. You know, what's next? I got to say please with sugar on top? And so I'll paint you a picture. And it's a concerning picture. A Marine Corps that isn't, right, intellectually bent anymore on this endeavor of fighting wars. Okay? Here's another one. And I talked about this yesterday. A Marine Corps that's not as engaged, right, in terms of knowing people as it used to be. And then a Marine Corps where the staff NCOs, well, from the ranks of sergeant to, let's say, gunny, that primarily deal with young Marines every day, that they have now had to back off because they've had their wings clipped and they don't know if officers will support them. That's not a good thing. That's not a good organization. So you have not as intellectually inclined, you have not as engaged, and you have your construction site foreman, right, aren't leaving the office as much. So whatever's going on in the construction yard is going on in the construction yard. And we all keep our fingers crossed that it's good, but if it's not, you know, I ain't going to go out there and lose my career by getting up somebody's ass who's only going to turn on me, and then I'm going to be the one with the problem. The Marine Corps has got to put an end to that shit. Or I will tell you what, at some point, somebody's going to pay a hefty price in blood. And I will tell you this, that's the same shit that you're seeing out in the 7th Fleet, but it's worse in the Navy. And if the United States, and again, everybody's whistling past the graveyard on this shit. And I'll tell you what, the worst part is they know the truth. They go out there and they see it. So I will tell you what, and all I do is I see more of it. And I have people approach me and tell me more of it. Hey, you don't know how right you are. But nobody wants to talk about it. Hell, General Furness brought up the idea, the concept of, hey, we're not disciplined and I'm not having it. And he got lambasted, and not one or only one other general officer that I know spoke up in public about it. That was Dale Alford. And I'll tell you what, every general officer in the Marine Corps knows it's a problem. And when you put that cocktail together, not as intellectually inclined, not as engaged as leaders, and we've clipped the wings of our foreman. That's no bueno. That is no fucking bueno. So, just an observation. And I keep seeing more and more and more and more of it. And let me tell you how post-traumatic winning affirms this for me. I will tell you this. Because, for instance, if you have substantial mental health issues, okay, depression, whatever, and you lie about it, do you think that person can fake their way through 13 weeks of recruit training? That crazy shit in the Marine Corps? Yeah, it ain't happening, right? No, no. So then suicide in the Marine Corps, if it's not a structural mental health issue, it's a leadership issue. You don't know them to the extent that their life is in upheaval and you don't know about it. And they don't feel comfortable enough to come with their problems to come with you because you haven't created that link. The highest rate of suicide in the active DOD belongs to the Marine Corps, and it's not by a little. It's by a lot. So I would tell you that in my opinion, from reading, right, and speaking and talking, that suicide in the United States military is eminently preventable, but you got to be engaged. And so if you, again, broaden the lens, what you see is this shit culture we have. No consequences. Right? You're not allowed to do adversity. Everybody gets a medal. And this is everybody gets a medal. Now we're in the Marine Corps. Right? We're going to stop people from calling you a shithead. We're going to stop, people from when you sleep in and you're not a formation and somebody comes into your room and grabs you by your blouse and said, let's go. Right? You have the balls to go down and say, he assaulted me. Well, obviously, clearly, you've never been assaulted. Because if you had, you would know the difference. But that person feels like they can do that. And what's even worse is they have websites devoted to this shit now, telling them what their rights are. And then they go after good leaders. Because they've got their rights on their way out of the fucking organization. So it's, I will tell you what, it's not a good thing. And it's worse, right? So, again, my point is, I would tell you, suicide imminently preventable in the DOD. Okay? And post-traumatic winning hits it right on the screws. You got to tell them the truth, and you got to show them the path to a better existence, and it's not a path, right? Right? That a drug is going to ease your pain, because it won't. It's not a path where you're going to talk the shit in your life, that happened to you to a good place because you can't. There's no amount of words that talk shitty things into good things. Right? The only way to get to good is to give. So to me, it's preventable. And when you look at this thing together, right, you can see that our culture has crept into our military. I would even say this. They play on teams, right? But it's not the same. When I close my eyes and think of a team, I think of my football coach at St. Charles Borromeo, Jim Frazzinetti. Mr. Frazzinetti was probably about 5'7", 5'8", broad shoulders guy, right? And he was a construction guy. He was no bullshit. He showed up for practice with a whistle, a red baseball cap, right? His blue jeans, a t-shirt, and his work boots on. That's how Jim Presidente showed up, right? And he was no bullshit at practice, right? You practiced hard. He was a man of few words. He told you what to do. Now, contrast that with, so you're on a team and you're a kid now. That's not your experience, right? Your parents are running around bringing you Gatorade, right? You have the latest bag and all the latest equipment, right? Your ass gets kissed the whole way through. So they don't really even understand what it is to be on a team, the majority of them. Hopefully somewhere along the line, they've had a good coach, but what I think is a team experience and what they think is a team experience are two different things. And so they've got to, and so now those guys are now the teachers inside the Marine Corps. And so I'll tell you, the more I watch our current active force, the more concerned I am. The more concerned I am. So anyway, with all that said, the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to both General Zinni and Van Riper for helping me do today's show. So I appreciate, as always, them coming on. They're always gracious with their time, and I enjoy every second that we do it.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Minutes after 8 o'clock here on a Tuesday morning and on Discipline Morning. I love that. Currently it is cloudy and 65 in the nation's capital. The baseball playoffs continue today. Three out of the four series will go to a fifth game, which is a elimination game. Yankees swept, and then Houston and Tampa played today. So Houston a heavy favorite in that, but we shall see. And then the Dodgers will play the Nationals out in Los Angeles, which will be a great game. Two great pitchers. Strasburg and Buell go for the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Nationals. So that's going to be good. And then the Braves and the Cardinals get at it back in Atlanta. So those games happen tomorrow. the Houston games today. Anyhow, Camp Lejeune, clouds of 73, 29 palms, sun in 68, Pendleton, sun in 58, Hawaii, dark cloudy 72, Okinawa, dark cloudy 76, in Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 91 in the western part of the country. In the southern part of Afghanistan, Helmand Province, clear, dark, and 80 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, mostly cloudy and 62. Looking for a high of 78 with clouds today. 72 tomorrow, and wind and 84. That must mean that Santa Ana weather conditions are coming. All right. Don't touch that dial. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, check news headlines, and then after that, you're going to hear General Zinni. And it's not a short event either. We talk discipline for a couple hours, and then General Van Riper comes on to talk about discipline again and add some footnotes. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool morning. Anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Oh my God!
Hi, this is Mike McNamara. You're listening to All Marine Radio.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Colleen driving. now I am. Yeah. They'd take the truck, go to school, right, come home. I don't have to stop my day, right? I neglected shithole weather yesterday. So with apologies to all the shithole weather contributors. In Webster, Massachusetts, 58 miles north-northwest of the Groton submarine base, which is located on the Thames River in the United States, in the state of Connecticut. Submarines in a shallow river emptying into the Long Island Sound? I wish I could say I'm making it up, but I'm not. Well, they do float on top, or they float near the top. 54 degrees in Webster, right? Should stay about the same for the next 3 or 4 days. Showers daily. In other words, boys, pack extra socks and towel because wet feet, no fix, and that'll ruin your day. Winds are negligible out of the northwest. My 5-pound, 3-ounce Maltese is crushing a good 12 to 15 hours of snoring sleep. Chris from Webster. Yeah, Chris gives us a little glimpse into his life every day. I like that. Happy Tuesday, Mac. Currently, 48 degrees in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, under a cloudless sky and southwest winds of 14 miles an hour. Afternoon skies to be partly sunny with a high of 61 degrees Fahrenheit and 14 miles an hour with winds out of the west. The pleasant weather is to abruptly end overnight. At this time, it's time to get out the cold weather apparel. Oh yeah, Vacaville man, he piled in late today. Currently, 56 degrees, looking for a high of 88 today in Vacaville. Sunny, slight 6-mile-an-hour breeze out of the south. Alright, we'll take a look at some news. I had a number of people ask me, you know, what do you think of the thing in Syria? What do I think? I think it's stupid. And as Jerome Keene said yesterday, and I played those comments, look, first of all, we don't have that much there, right? The Syrian Defense Forces, they're the ones that did all the fighting and dying to eject ISIS. We didn't do a whole lot of dying. We did a lot of supporting arms. We did a lot of advising. But it was them. But again, I mean, you know, we teach people that we want to join us this lesson all the time. We're with you till we're not. And honestly, I think it's embarrassing for the nation. Right? I think it's absolutely positively fucking embarrassing for the nation. Idaho weighs in. Idaho man, as opposed to Montana man, they're actually the same people. He just is living in different states at different times. He's actually headed for Montana tomorrow, so if you see him on the road, say hey. Tell him to trim that fucking goatee he's got. Salmon, Idaho, 44 and partly, 44 and cloudy. Expecting 5 inches of snow and 15 degrees tomorrow. Yeah, I'd be off to Montana too. Right? Well, there'll be 10 inches of snow and 7 degrees in Montana. Montana man, he's like, He's gone radio silent. The Yankees crushing everybody. He's not good with it. But let me just say this for him. He's whooping post-traumatic winning on people. Yeah, up in the hinterland. Yeah, he's saving people up there. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So he's got a lot of leash. So, but you know, it's been kind of a rough baseball season for those massholes, and it's only going to get worse because they don't know how they're going to financially fit everybody on the team next year. The main guy, Mookie Betts, he's not sure he's coming back. JD Martinez, they're not sure he's coming back. So he's got some issues up there that he's dealing with. Let's see. Any other shithole weather updates? All right. I looked in Stars and Stripes. So let me go back to Syria. So the course of action is stupid. Okay, then the way he does it, it's every bit the shit show that surrounds the president on the other side of the Potomac. And I said yesterday, when the bullshit on the east side of the Potomac spreads to the west side of the Potomac and the Pentagon, that's a problem. That's a fucking problem. And so I think the course of action is stupid. I think the way that they went about it, stupid, right? And it, trust me, it's not like they didn't know what they were doing when they went about it in that way. And so, again, you could be a fan of the president, but a fan of the way that he does business, you know, yeah, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. So, and again, somebody asked me, well, Mac, would you vote for him again? I said, like, who else am I going to vote for? Fucking Elizabeth Warren? Like, are you kidding me? So, anyhow, yeah. Such is my life. Okay? Such is my life. But yeah. Keep the bullshit east of the Potomac, okay? Stay off the west side, they're idiots. But again, all she's looking for is a bullet, right? In a campaign speech. That's what this is about, right? Because there is no other fucking reason for it. Because if you were really interested in doing it and you were going to do it the right way, right, it would have been done differently. In conjunction with our allies, with other mitigating things, over with slow, you know, gradual movement, no sudden movements here, you know, it'd be done professionally. And that's just, man, it's just disheartening, you know. Idiots, man, idiots. The USS Wasp is transiting with Marines aboard to Southcom, which is South America. All right. Southcom will keep the amphib USS Wasp busy during its transit. As the USS Wasp rounds the horn from the Pacific to the Atlantic Ocean, the commander of the U.S. Southern Command plans to use the big deck amphibious warship for as much training as possible. Admiral Craig Fowler, the commander of Southcom, continually looks to turn standard transits of U.S. Navy or Coast Guard ships through his area of responsibility into training opportunities for U.S. and partner nation. Fowler, who took command of Southcom a year ago, spoke during a media roundtable Friday morning hosted by the Defense Writers Group. You routinely see a lot of stories come out of that, by the way. We have a plan, a robust schedule of exercises with partner nations. Now, the Wasp, right, has been a Pacific platform for a long time. And not gonna switch coasts. Anyway, 2 years ago, the WASP prepared to depart for Japan. The amphibious assault ship provided critical resources to the U.S. Virgin Islands in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. Helicopters from the WASP provided medical evacuations for the residents of the island of St. Thomas and St. Croix. So, again, the WASP heading back to the East Coast. So, Southcom's going to use it. So, that's in the news. Stories in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps reopened an old aviation mishap investigation following a deadly 2018 mid-air tanking collision. So, this is by Sean Snow. During the investigation of the deadly 2018 mid-air collision of a KC-130 and a Hornet, the Marine Corps discovered a strikingly similar mishap took place in 2016, which was improperly investigated. What? What do you mean improperly investigated? The Corps decided to reopen the investigation into a mid-air collision between a KC-130 and an F-18 that occurred on April 28, 2016, off the coast of Japan. No one was killed in the incident, and both aircraft were able to land. But Hornet did impact and shear off the refueling hose and drogue of the KC-130J, damaging both aircraft during a nighttime low-light level refueling exercise. What's the drogue? Anybody know? Bueller? Montana man? F-18 man? What's a drogue? A device typically conical or funnel-shaped with open ends towed behind a boat, aircraft, or other moving object to reduce speed or improve stability. Got it. All right, so that's the basket. Okay. That's the basket. The completed investigation of that mishap was included in the command investigation of the deadly 2018 crash that killed 6 Marines. Both mid-air collisions were eerily similar. And had the 2016 incident been properly investigated, it could have provided insights that might have prevented the 2018 crash. Fuck. The two mid-air collisions both involved nighttime refueling between Marine Aerial Refueling Transport Squadron, I can say it, Squadron 152, and All Marine Weather Fighter Attack Squadron 242. The investigation of the 2016 incident found failures in mission planning, operational risk management, an inexperienced pilot not qualified for nighttime refueling exercises, and a lax command atmosphere that resulted in complacency and a disregard for investigations, for regulations. That could have been copied and pasted in the 2018 investigation. And Sean Snow then goes on and says this: these were the same findings of the 2018 crash investigation. In both mishaps, pilots erroneously had been certified as being qualified for nighttime refueling despite having not completed the steps required in the training and readiness. Now, Joey Perrazzo was on with me and said, yeah, we don't do that. During the 2016 incident, the pilot was inexperienced and was conducting his first ever low light level night system air refueling, the investigation detailed. There was missing information with the flight schedules found in both mishaps to include absent refueling tanker details, no complete risk management, and there was no solar lunar data included in either briefs according to the investigation. What? How can you not brief lunar data when you're going up at night? During the 2016 night refueling exercise, the Hornet made a non-standard maneuver when it arrived at the KC-130 and when it departed following refueling. Now, Joy Perrazzo explained to us that the flow of the aircraft goes from low left to above right. Okay? And the 2018 mishap was as a result of a non-standard departure from the tanker. The pilot of the 2016 mishap came within 5 feet to 10 feet of hitting the back of the KC-130J, but managed to avoid a total collision. The investigation also found issue with the pilot's flight control inputs, which caused the mishap aircraft to turn into the mishap tanker, the investigation read. The result was only minor damage from shearing off part of the refueling hose. The accident was listed as a Class C mishap. The investigation of the 2016 accident said there was a delay in convening the Aviation Mishap Board, which convened on June 16, 2016. It took almost 2 months following the 2016 mishap for the board to gather. No administrative investigation of the 2016 mishap was completed prior to 2019 as required by the Marine Corps. No administrative investigation of the 2016 mishap was completed prior to 2019 as required by the Marine Corps. Holy shit, man. So you had a mishap that occurred that doesn't get investigated. The commanders of that squadron don't take appropriate action, and then they replay the event, and 6 Marines die. Who was in charge when that shit happened? Find them, and they ought to pay. The 6th step in troop leading is supervised. This is disgusting, I have to tell you. Maybe there's more to the story. God help us, man. See, this is kind of shit. Anyway, the plan to give soldiers a day's worth of MREs in one ration, 7 days of food that weigh less than 10 pounds. That would be interesting. What is it? So if we're going to be fighting, you know, dispersed, and you're not going to be able to get resupplied all the time, Gunny not showing up with the chow, how do we feed them? So we're trying to shrink down food rations. One such process is vacuum microwave drying. It uniformly removes water with both vacuum and microwave techniques, similar to freeze drying without the cold, and then physically compressing the food that remains somewhat moist. That's one way they've created a lemon cheesecake bar that looks, smells, and tastes just like actual cheesecake, just a bit crunchier. Another process is called sonic agglomeration technology. It uses vibration to instantly compress food without fillers or binders, reducing the same meal by 50 to 70% of its original size with the same ingredients and nutrition. So, yeah. Coming to a theater near you, really small food. You're going to eat a wafer and get food for like 2 weeks. Don't need to eat, son. You had your wafer. Here's an article for Military Times written by a guy named J.D. Simpkin. Must see incredible new trailer and behind-the-scenes look at a World War I blockbuster, 1917. Quote, from the very beginning, I felt this movie should be real, told in real time. I wanted people to understand how difficult it was for these men, every step of the journey, breathing, every breath with these men felt integral. And there is no better way to tell that story than with one continuous shot. The movie's entitled 1917. And it opens in theaters in December. So, we'll see it. We'll see. Top five stories in Early Bird, then we'll take a break, and then you'll hear General Zinni for the next couple of hours. One, U.S. withdrawal from Syria in Syria is only a small number of special operators, says the Trump administration. This is the president's attempt to put frosting on a turd. Yeah, that's it. The Pentagon said Monday it does not endorse a Turkish operation in northern Syria and that U.S. troops would not support or be involved in such an operation. Second story. Two, key Republicans and Democrats blast President Trump's surprise withdrawal from Syria. Quote, this impulsive decision by the president has undone all the gains we've made, throwing the region into further chaos. Iran is licking its chops, and if I'm an ISIS fighter, I've got a second lease on life, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said during an appearance on Fox and Friends. To those who think ISIS has been defeated, you will soon see, and to Turkey, you have destroyed the relationship, what little you had, with the U.S. Congress, and I will do everything I can to sanction Turkey's military and their economy if they step one foot into Syria. Graham tweeted later that he will introduce a measure to levy bipartisan sanctions against Turkey if they invade Syria and will call for the suspension from NATO if they attack Kurdish forces who have assisted the U.S. in the destruction of the ISIS caliphate. His co-sponsor would be Maryland Democrat Senator Christopher Van Hollen, an advocate of enacting legally mandated sanctions on Turkey since it took possession of the Russian S-400 missile defense system. So, the president getting blasted. Number three, Democrats issue subpoenas to Esper and the White House budget chief on Ukraine dealings. Number four, child abuse charges dropped for this Marine colonel. Now the alleged victim's family is calling to remove the appeals process. I deliberately stayed away from this story because it makes me sick. Okay. So one of two things is true. Either a convicted child predator is going free, or the military justice system is so fucking incompetent, right, that it's clown-like. In this past July, Colonel Dan Wilson's sexual abuse charge was tossed by a military appeals court using the UCMJ Article 66 Charlie, or factual sufficiency powers. Factual sufficiency allows an appellate court to review the trial record and act as a final juror on the case, overturning the conviction if it says guilt was not proved beyond a reasonable doubt. The Perry family, right, who the child belongs to them, is now calling on Congress to remove from the UCMJ power, which does not exist in most U.S. civilian courts, so that, as they say, future victims can be protected. Article 66C is wrecking the lives of victims who brazenly step out on faith and entrust in our nation's military justice system to see justice served for the abuse they have endured. This is the mother of, her name's Adrian Perry. This is in a call for a press conference last Friday from Okinawa, Japan. The family has been stationed on the island with her husband, Lieutenant Colonel Brock Perry. This is astounding, and our country should be outraged, she said. Rachel Van Landingham, a law professor at Southwest Law School in Los Angeles, former Air Force judge advocate, said it was past time factual sufficiency was taken out of the UCMJ. Quote, it allows these appellate courts to disbelieve witnesses. Like in sexual assault cases, they have never seen nor directly heard from. It supplants the role of the trier of fact, the jury and the judge, and replaces those folks with appellate judges who are reading cold records of a trial and allowing their cognitive biases to disbelieve victims juries did believe. So, again, I'm less speechless by this stuff. You know, how the military justice system can be so fucked up. So fucked up. Alright, that is a look at the news today. Thankfully, I'm done. I can't do any more of it today. We'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear General Zinni and then and General Van Riper right at the end of that. He'll come on and talk about things that General Zinni said. So, awesome stuff. Anyway, don't touch that dial. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next.